Somebody say hallelujah. Hallelujah. Here we see a man, and a great man of God. The dream that he talked about, you know, there are some things that we just automatically should be able to relate to out of our foundational scripture, that he talked about the mountains being leveled and the crooked places made straight, which is, you know, out of Isaiah 45, 2 and 3, which is one of our foundational scriptures here in Victory Outreach. But I have no doubt in my heart that the dream, the vision of Martin Luther King was birthed in the heart of God. Because the things he spoke about were definitely God things. Then he began to speak on faith, the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of the unseen. Just like when I was a little kid, you know, I knew my mom and dad. And I kind of knew, you know, what kind of ability they had. But nevertheless, I would press them around Christmas time. And once upon a time, I wanted a red Swin bike that I had saw in Sears. Man, I wanted that bike bad. I wanted it bad. So I asked my mom and dad, because I didn't believe, I'm going to tell you right now, I didn't believe in no Santa Claus. Okay, I just when I gave thought to Santa Claus, are there any kids here? But when I gave thought to Santa Claus, big chubby guy, man, coming down, you know, chimneys, I don't know about that. You know what I'm saying? And so I just didn't give in to that. And then on Christmas Eve, I'm saying, well, millions and millions and millions and millions of chimneys. How's this guy going to put in that kind of work? You know what I'm saying? How's he going to put in that kind of work, you know? And plus, hey, in my house, we didn't have a chimney. Amen? But anyway, I would look at that Christmas tree time and time again before Christmas. And I could see that red Swin bicycle next to that tree. It was a substance of something that I was hoping for, the evidence on the scene, and I just knew that it was going to be there. Was I listening to Martin Luther King? Here he had a dream, and the way he spoke, and this was at the Lincoln Memorial, and there was millions of people there. There was close probably to a million people there. People from all over the country who trekked there. They made it some kind of way. Not everybody could fly. Not everybody could drive. Some of them probably even walked. But to listen to this powerful man of God speak out of the heart of God, because he was speaking a God thing to the nation in this message that he gave here. And I'm glad, Kyle, thank you so much, because when I looked at this excerpt of the video, I could not understand it real clear. Did you all understand what he was saying? Okay. Amen. And so Kyle made it happen. And Anthony, thank you guys. But tonight I want to talk about the vision, the expectation of the man, and how it relates to us at this day and time. And also, you know, to definitely lead us into where we're headed in this year of expectation. Amen. If you turn your Bibles to Proverbs 29, very popular scripture with us, in verse 18. I'll take it from the King James Version. And the Word of God reads, where there is no vision, the people perish. Where there's no vision, the people perish. But he that keeps the law, happy is he. And what it's talking about here, where there is no consciousness of responsibility, the people perish. Now, we always talk about, well, I'm called of God, okay? And sometimes it can be a cliche, but do you know that you're called of God? Now, I was a dope fiend, crack addict up and down the streets of Albuquerque, in and out of the prison system here in New Mexico. And when I surrendered to God, one of the things I asked the Lord was, Lord, if you're real, if you're for real, then change my life. Because I'm surrendered before you. Changed my life. And I was hearing testimony after testimony after testimony of those that God, that had surrendered to the Lord and he had changed their lives. So Lord, hey, you know, if you can change them, you can change me. And now someone else is saying, well, if you can change Charles, you can change me. So I have no doubt in my mind and in my heart that God called me. But he called me so that he could send me. Hello, somebody. He called us so that he could send us. Amen. And I thank God for Martin Luther King Jr. Think about it. I look around the church here and I see a very diversified congregation. All right, I grew up in the 60s. Yeah, I'm old. Well, let's put it this way. I've been around a while. And I was around when I would drive down in Texas and we'd pull up to a service station, and because of the color of our skin, you understand, a full service station, we would not get served. So we had to drive to the next service station where we might not get served. So I was around in those times, and I look around, and I've traveled around the country since then, and I truly know that things have changed. Doesn't mean everything, you understand, is good. It doesn't mean that it's all good, which is a cliche, okay? Doesn't mean that's all good, but things have changed. Things have changed considerably. What if Martin Luther King Jr. had not chosen to fulfill his destiny? How life would have been different if he had not been a leader in our nation? Let's look at our international congregation here, because I want to tie some things together here tonight. What if Pastor Sonny would have said no to God? What if he would have chosen? What if Pastor Danny would have said no to God? Some of us wouldn't be here. Amen. We know it was the hand of God that moved, but God chose some people. This thing about God don't need you. No, God don't need you in that sense. But we are part of God's plan, so God needs us, you understand, to do what it is he's called us to do and what he's equipped us to do. Can I get an amen up in here? God called Martin Luther King and he made a way. And this man chose. He made an intelligent decision, you understand, to do the will of God. There's so much that can be said about this great man of God who chose good over bad, righteousness over evil, and God's way over the way of the world. King's motivation truly stemmed from a fear of God, a heart for oppressed souls, and faith-driven what? Expectation. Somebody say expectation. Knowing that since God called him and many others to this task, that it wouldn't be in vain. If you know God and you know God is God, hello somebody, well then the call of God is not in vain. Sometimes we live our lives like the call of God is in vain, like it's a vain thing. My Abba Father, my daddy up in heaven, man, he owns all the cattle on 1,000 hills. He owns all the hills and everything up under the hills. He's all powerful. He spoke things into existence. Let there be light. Booyah, there it was. Hello, somebody. We were with a couple here yesterday, and we were talking about, you understand, marriage, and we were talking about Adam and Eve, and God put Adam to sleep, and he took out one of his ribs, and he made a woman. Oh, hello. He took a rib, and woman came out of the womb of the man, and he called her womb man. Hello, somebody. Hello, somebody. A comparable helpmeet, if you will. God is God. Sure, he's a God all by himself. But boy, such an honor and a privilege it is to be called of God. God did not call us in vain. Matthew 28:19 says, when Jesus, in the Great Commission to us, the church, He says, go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. And he says, and teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded or that I have given unto you. And lo, I am with you even until the end of the age. Otherwise, I'm with you. Lo, meaning surely. But I take lo literally. Lo. Lord, you with me. Lo. You with me, Lord? I'm with you, Charles. Lo. You with me, Lord? I'm with you, Charles. I take it literally, although we know in the Greek it means for sure. Man, it means for sure. So lo, he is with us even until the end of the age. King Strong points were his depth, his thoroughness, his patience, his tenacity, and faithfulness toward accomplishing his God-given task. We co-labor with men and women in this ministry. Man, I'm sitting with my pastor sometime. My head be spinning around, man. Man, a vision. Hold up, pastor. Hold on. Let me catch up to you, man. Hey, I've seen him walk into buildings, man, where at Five Points there was chewing gum and blood on the floor where there was shootings every week in his place, and he looked around at this tore-down, decrepit building, and he had a vision. He said, man, this will be over here, and that will be over there. And he could see this. Then he envisioned the people that would be there. Had him prophesy over my life. Man, really? I came in here trying to beat this case, man. They're getting ready to break me off 16 years. You know what I'm saying? Okay, when I came into the men's home, but he had vision. He had vision. When you hang out with God, you begin to see things. God becomes manifest in your life, manifested in your life. You put on, the Bible says, put on the mind of Christ. Put on Christ daily. Put him on. Hello? Put on the mind of Christ. You know the mind of God. You know the heart of God, the heartbeat of God. You know God, then you begin to look at things from God's perspective. Okay, so here we have a man. We have a man. He was tenacious in accomplishing the task that God had given him. Martin Luther King Jr.'s accomplishments were numerous, but the big picture was centered around, as you just heard, freedom, 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 freedom and equality for all people. During a time of great racial tension and the oppression of people of color, King rose up and stepped out in faith, knowing that his life was truly on the line. Our lives are on the line. But my life don't belong to me no more anyway. It belongs to Jesus. Okay? We're going to go out there. We're going to pray up and go out and we hit the streets. And daily we go out. We minister to people. I had a guy go off on me in Walmart. Okay, brother, you know Jesus loves you anyway. Okay, hey, I'm just going to tell you, Jesus loves you anyway. No, we don't need to fight. We're not going to box. But Jesus loves you, brother. Some people don't want to hear it. Like Martin Luther King, we don't need to allow the price that must be paid to hinder us from being an obedient vessel of God. We got to know that we know that we know that God is with us. Amen? And if God be for us, who can be against us, as it says in Romans 8:31? Yes, it's going to cost us time spent fasting, praying, studying, giving, and reaching out to others. Even though the people that you reach out to might even hate your guts, nevertheless, they hated Jesus. Hello, somebody. He even told us, you're going to suffer many things. For my sake, for the sake of the gospel, you're going to suffer some things. But I was already suffering some things, but there was no reward to the suffering. Because I was on my way to hell. Am I the only one? We were on our way to hell then. And Jesus stepped in. Stepped from his place in heaven. Put on humanity. 100% man, 100% God. Hello, somebody. It's gonna cost energy. It's going to cost sleep. Many nights you might have these sleepless nights. Matthew 11, 28 and 30 says, Jesus says, come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest. Will. You will. That's a promise. You will find rest. He makes promises, and he's more than able to keep them. You will find rest. Rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. All that we need we'll find in who? Jesus, who blesses and keeps us. Hard working money. Sometimes we think we hear about money too much. But it's one of the fuels that keeps us going. Amen. Hard work and money are tools we can't do without. Maybe even at the expense of losing our very lives. Martin Luther King was a man who daily knew that at any given time, it could be his last breath that he breathed while trying to minister to others. Matter of fact, a message he spoke the night before his death. He said, well, I don't know what will happen now, said Dr. King, as he concluded a speech the night before he was murdered. I've been to the mountaintop, he said, in a deliberate comparison to Mount Nebo, which is where Moses went to that mountain and he looked out over and he saw the promised land. But he knew he wasn't going to go. He knew he might not go to the promised land, but nevertheless, God showed him the promised land. Amen. Like anybody, Martin says, he says, like anybody, I would like to live a long life. But I'm not concerned about that now. I just want to do God's will. And he's allowed me to go up to the mountain. And I've looked over and I've seen the promised land. I might not get there, I may not get there with you, but I want you to know tonight that we as people will get to the promised land. I look at some of our elders who are no longer here in Victory Outreach. Elders I can remember, like Pastor Ed Morales, the Duke of Earl, powerful man of God there in San Jose, launching out men and women who were surrendered unto God, who had heart for the ministry and were loyal and faithful servants of the Almighty God and faithful servants of the community. We're getting launched out. David Martinez, Pastor David, many who came before us, trailblazers, risk takers, who went out and out and out and out, and no matter what they faced, you understand, hey, look, I'm here to tell you that Jesus loves you. I'm here to tell you that there's a way, you understand, out of that miserable life that you call yourself living. And step out time and time again. Pastor Danny's dad, man, powerful man of God. And I miss him. Me and him bump heads a few times, but I loved him to death. He loved me to death. He gave me my first suit in the home. A purple suit. Baby, you hear me? My wife loves purple. I'm talking about brand new, man. Brand new purple suit. It was three sizes too big, but man, you couldn't tell me it was too big. Okay? Then he gave me some bad kicks. I'm talking about some bad shoes. And I went to my first home conference, shoot, like Pastor Pat was talking about today, like Jacob, I had a dip in my hip and a glide in my stride. Thought I had it going on. But a man of God who loves souls, loved to work with men, loved to work with people, love on people, love them into the kingdom. In jails, he'd go and be in the jungles of down in Cuba, you understand, where they had to have lookouts while they were having church. and have lookouts. But it didn't matter. We're going to preach the gospel anyway. Hallelujah. Like Saul, who made a decision on the road to Damascus to surrender to the will of God, we too must surrender to the will of God and allow him to change our name, as Pastor Pat was saying this morning. Oh, you know who you were before you were who you are. Hello, somebody. They used to call me Jabbo. Jabbo was a terrible man. Terrible man. Where they got the name, I have no idea. Jabbo. He was a terrible man, but I'm no longer Jabbo. All right? God said, look, your name is Charles, and you're a man of God, okay? And I'm going to keep you out of this prison, but you got work to do, brother. You got to put in work. I was already putting in work, but the wrong kind of work. See? And sometimes I get apprehensive, you know, because a pastor being a man of vision, you know, you're move. Let's get, it's time to move. Time to move. Let's go this way. Charles, let's do this way. Let's go this way. Let's go over here. And we can get apprehensive. But our expectation, you understand, of great things exist because the man of God has already seen them. He's already seen them. Somebody else prayed over here, and we got blessed over here. We're praying here and reaching out here, and somebody else is getting blessed there. Men's home, where you at? My goodness. All you hear is stories about beans and rice. I am. I'm serious. Beans and rice in Jesus Christ, and that be it, brother. I seen a brother go back to prison because he couldn't get another slice of bread. And I looked at him and said, brother, wait a minute, nah, that ain't me, brother. I'll just be breadless today, homeboy. You know what I'm saying? I'm not going back to prison because I can't get a second slice of bread. But blessed, 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 blessed. Trailblazers who came before you. Prayer warriors who came before you. Men and women, women's home, they put in work. Put in work. Sister Linda, I remember many times we were hustling and bustling, it seemed like. But God has been faithful all these years when we were directing the homes. Pastor Joe, man, I thought he was a maniac when I first met him. My God. But a man of God with a heart for souls. We down in the A Street community. Riding, and he had a low rider. Was it Grand Prix? Low rider. And we see a whole bunch of drug dealers. So he whips a U-turn, you understand it? Pulls up in front of the house on my side. On my side. We rolling like the mod squad, you understand? He pull up on my side, and all these Chicano drug dealers is reaching for their guns. What's up? Is this a robbery or what? Joe, why you pull up on my side, dog? Yeah, I was a man fresh in the home riding with Pete. Joe, why you pull up on my side, dog? Black brother down here swooping in, man, like this. Man, look like a robbery, dog. But he got out. He jumped out. Started speaking some Espanol. I said, well, hey, Joe's holding it down. Right on, Joe. I call myself getting out, but what he had to say, he said it. Did flyers, you know, brothers were still looking like, okay, all right. And Jesus saying, it's all right, brother, but we take care of business right here, okay? But he did what he had to do in the presence of danger. Amen? So we see Saul, like Saul made a decision on the road to Damascus to surrender to the will of God. And allow him to change his life. The challenges we may have to face may be more than we're able to bear in our own power. Martin Luther King knew that. What he was talking about, if I get the keyboard put up here. What he was talking about, you understand, to the people at the Lincoln Memorial there, he had seen. He had seen the vision. God had given him a vision, and he believed that God was more than able to make it come to pass. Romans 8, 38 and 39 tells us, the Apostle Paul says, for I am persuaded that neither death nor life nor angels nor principalities nor powers nor things present nor things to come nor height nor depth nor any other created thing shall be able to separate us from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus. Hebrews 13:6 tells us, so we may boldly say, the Lord is my helper. I will not fear. What can man do to me? 1 Samuel 17, we know that young David, you understand, he made a decision to step out in what? Faith with a rag and a rock and kill the filthy, uncircumcised Philistine giant Goliath. How about you, men and women of faith tonight? You got your rag, you got your rock. You ready to sling it? You know that rock is kind of small for the giant. You understand that God is telling you to go out and slay. But we know our God is greater. He just wants us to sling it. He'll do the rest. Exodus 3, it says God called Moses out of a burning bush. Wow. Imagine that. Told Moses, go to Pharaoh and tell him to let my people go. Moses tried to get out of it with all kinds of excuses like many of us, but he finally stepped out in faith and obedience and led millions of Hebrew slaves out of a 400-year bondage. Martin Luther King here in this country, I look around the country and there's a lot of things, you understand, that need changing, but then there's a lot of changes that have been made because of the man of God who had faith and vision and expectation that God was going to do great things even though he might not be here to see them. Those that were with him, co-laborers. Moses tried to get out of it, but he went on and surrendered. Matthew 4:18-20, Jesus walking by the Sea of Galilee came across Peter and his brother Andrew casting their nets and told them, follow me and I will make you fishers of men. And the Bible says that they immediately left their nets and followed him. Don't procrastinate. Stop procrastinating. Now is the time. Now is the time. We have to immediately respond. Time's running out. They made an immediate decision to follow Jesus, who was able to use them to establish the church, and it says turn the world upside down. Now, how about you tonight? With every head bowed and every eye closed, will you make an immediate and intelligent decision to turn wholeheartedly to Jesus and allow him to work in and through your life? This is why we honor. This is why we honor our founders. We honor them because in obedience they rose up in expectation and allowed God to use them in a mighty, mighty way. And here we are 50 years later, after all the tongues, you understand, all the tongues that say, hey, you can't make anything out of all of those ex-this and ex-that convicts and prostitutes and gangbangers. This is not to say that everybody here, you understand, has been involved in that style of life, but we all were on our way to hell. God used and continues to use this powerful man of God and woman of God, and our own pastors, our elders, many pastors in their families, and you right here in the church of Albuquerque, where God has said, take this city. I've given you what you need, and more is to come. But you got to step out. You got to get your feet wet. Step out in faith. Step out in expectation. Knowing, this is a faith word. Knowing that we can do all things through Christ Jesus who strengthens us. Tonight, in honoring the great Martin Luther King Jr. and the many people who made the decision to arise and step out expecting God to do great and wonderful things, let us never leave out the one who made the greatest decision, our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Face decision in the Garden of Gethsemane, Matthew 26:39. Oh, my Father, if it is possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as you will. The agony Jesus experienced was not out of fear of physical death, but by the association of his death with sin. Here is God, 100% God, stepped down, Emmanuel, to be with mankind, to step down and take sin upon himself, someone who had never known sin. Nevertheless, he bore all of our sins on himself on the cruel cross of Calvary. Tonight, God is calling you to make the decision to be set free from whatever held you back in 2017 and to expect great blessings to be poured out upon you, your family, and others he has called you to reach in 2018. Heavenly Father, God, we come before you tonight. God, we give you thanks and praise, Lord, for speaking into our lives words that we know will not return to you void, but will accomplish everything in which you sent them forth to accomplish, Lord. Lord, I pray in the name of Jesus tonight, God, that upon the hearts of the hearers of your word, my God, that, dear Lord God, you would move in them right now, God. Oh, dear Lord God, that the spirit of expectation, my God, would grow and mount, my God, would mount inside the hearts and the minds of your people here in Victory Outreach Albuquerque, my God. That, Lord, after this evening, God, oh, God, that we would not be the same when we leave here, my God. But that, oh, Heavenly Father, that you will fuel us, dear Lord God, by thy spirit, anoint us, my God, to do thy will, dear Lord God, and to expect you to move because you said you will move. In the name of Jesus. I want to ask the question, is there anyone here tonight? You know, Jesus came. He left his humble abode, as they say, in heaven. And he came and he put on humanity. And he lived amongst men, born of a virgin, lived amongst men. Said he was tempted in every way that we're tempted, so he understands the temptation. But he didn't sin. And he gave us a free gift, although it cost God everything. But the gift is free. The salvation is free. Tonight, you will to accept that free gift of salvation. I want you to raise your hand. Free gift of salvation. Hallelujah. God bless you. And there are many of us, you understand, maybe tonight, you know, there's some things that we brought into 2018, whether from 2017, and God has said, leave that behind. I'm going to do a new thing in your life. Expect it, because it's going to happen. It's going to take place. Doesn't mean that you don't have to put in work, but to know that God is with us. If I can get you to stand here this evening, as they begin to sing, these altars are open. Hallelujah.